This morning, I want to take time to search the Bible. That's where we need to go for our source, for comfort, for wisdom, for direction, for understanding in times of overwhelming suffering. We started the service this morning singing, God leads us along. He leads his dear children along, some through the flood, some through the fire, some through great sorrow. Does he really lead God's people through those things? Well, we know from the Bible that he does, and we know from our own experience that he does. And we need to understand how to find God's comfort and strength and direction to continue on in our walk of faith in those times of overwhelming sorrow, overwhelming tragedy that oftentimes strikes God's people. In this modern world in which we're living, with its instant global social media, lately, we've been bombarded with all the suffering that's going on in Ukraine. In Ukraine, I'm sure that God has a people, that there are Christians that are suffering the very same tragedies and sorrows and death and loss that come with being in the midst of such a war. Many of us will never know that experience of being in the middle of a war like that. But the pain and the sorrow is real. And right now, our attention is being drawn to Ukraine. But the reality is that almost every day, somewhere around the world, people are suffering overwhelming suffering, whether it be war or famine or persecution, genocide. Even lately here in our own metropolitan area, there have been many that have lost everything due to a wildfire. That's a tough tragedy to experience. Just yesterday, I heard that another brother in Paraguay passed away due to complications from COVID. And so this pandemic is still causing death and suffering around the world. It's real. And as it was with this case with this brother, believers are also suffering these things. So how do we deal with that? All of us at one time or another have faced those kinds of losses and suffering, or at least we will, if you haven't yet. You'll suffer things in this life that it just knocks the spiritual wind out of you. How many have actually had physically the wind knocked out of you at some time? You know, hopefully, usually when you're in school doing stupid things. But it happens. And when you do, I mean, immediately your body is starved of oxygen. And your thoughts become confused. And you are in intense pain. You fall because you have the wind knocked out of you. And it takes just a moment to make yourself breathe despite the pain, because it hurts to even start to try to breathe. But you make yourself breathe, and you take just a moment to gather yourself. And little by little, that intense pain and everything that you experienced, it begins to pass just almost as rapidly as it happened. But you begin to take in oxygen again, and it begins to feed the muscles and the brain, and you begin to think clearly. Oftentimes, that's what happens spiritually when we get that spiritual breath knocked out of us. In Scripture, the word spirit can also be translated breath. And we need to understand that when we are faced with those kinds of tragedies, because we begin to think, our thoughts become confused. How can this happen? Why would God allow this to happen? I'm serving Him. I worship Him. I'm doing everything I need to do. Why did God allow this to happen? And your thoughts begin to, you get a little confused. That's when we need to take a moment. And despite the pain, begin to take in that spiritual breath again. And that breath is the Word of God. If we want to turn John 6 and verse 63, John chapter 6 and verse 63. So when you're faced with those kinds of tragedies and losses in life, for some it may be the loss of a child, for some it may be that dreaded diagnosis of cancer, or some accident that leaves you or a loved one maimed. For some, it may be the experience of some kind of injustice, crime even. Suffering takes many different forms in life. But as a child of God, we need to understand how God leads us to and through those things. But it takes that moment, because when you've gone through it, and some of you have already, and some of you are yet to, so I will pay attention. Because when it happens, you're going to feel everything I just explained. Let the Holy Spirit bring this back to your memory. You have to take a moment to breathe. John 6, 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words, Jesus said, that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. They are the breath that you need to take in. Take in the Word of God. In those times when I have found myself reeling from a tragic blow from life and overwhelmed with all those why questions, and there are many, I found comfort and strength in returning to the basics of the truth of God's Word. The reality is, if you try to find some answer, quick answer to why this happened or that happened, you'll drive yourself crazy. Why? The reality is, in this life, we may not ever know the answer to those questions. And if we focus on them, we're just going to drown ourselves. Those questions will inundate your thoughts and your life, and it will bring discouragement and depression. And don't focus on those. Take time to breathe in the Spirit, Word of God, to give you life. Start with the basics. And by the way, when you're ministering to someone who's suffering and going through those things, don't try to explain away their suffering. It doesn't help. It only makes it worse. And again, I know from experience. Don't try to answer all their questions. Just point them to the Word of God. Weep with them. That's why Paul says, We rejoice with those who rejoice, but we need to learn to weep with those who weep, not try to explain away all their suffering. Let's go to Psalm 33. I want to read this passage. It's a good place to start, to go back to basics when you're hit with suffering. Remember who God is, and remember what He has promised and purposed for those who love Him and those who fear Him. Psalm 33, we'll read this entire passage through verse 22. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. Why should we do that? Well, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with a harp. Make melody to Him with an instrument of 10 strings. That's what we did earlier today. Sing to Him a new song. play skillfully with a shout of joy. Why? For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. He can't lie. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. The very fact that we have a planet to live on is the result of the goodness and the grace of God. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. It's a good thing to remember in this Ukraine crisis. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. He has a plan. He has a purpose. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The people he has chosen as his own inheritance, that earthly people Israel. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. There are people that need to remember that today. A horse is vain. Tanks are vain. A vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. In this passage, we're reminded who God is. This is the basic truths that when you have the spiritual wind knocked out of you, take time to meditate on this. Take that deep breath. He's God. He's still God. He is the creator. He created everything from nothing. He's sovereign. He is the judge of all. He has the final word on everything. He's worthy to be praised because of who he is. And those who fear him, God has a plan and a purpose for them. Those who trust in his mercy and his grace, not who demand things from him and ask him why, but those who trust him and stand in awe of him. You are who you are. You're God, and I worship you. I bow before you. And those who do that will have a hope. You'll be able to regain your breath, your spiritual strength to stand up and to go forward. No matter what the tragedy was, you know that it doesn't annul the declared plans and purposes of God for you, for time and for eternity. Psalm 144. This is what's hard for us when we lose things that we once had, whether it be a loved one or a job or a relationship or an opportunity, a job. We lose a lot of things in life sometimes. And often we feel sorry for ourselves as if we deserved any of that. These passages remind us here that we don't deserve anything from God. Psalm 144, verses 3 and 4. Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him? What are we exactly? We're a speck of dust on his great universe. That's what you are. Remember that. It's important to remember it. Or the Son of Man, that you are mindful of him. Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Your life's a vapor. You're here for a very short time in this physical world. But man has come to expect and demand things from life and from God. Health, wealth, family, friends, success. We deserve those things, don't we? Do we? And if we don't have these things, or if we had them and lose them, our tendency is to become angry and bitter, depressed and despondent. And oftentimes that's directed at God, and we forsake the way of faith that we have the privilege to walk in. We need to remember this. We don't deserve anything from God. Job 1. Job knew what it was to suffer. But this is what he said when he regained his breath. And he had the breath knocked out of him. He had some confused thoughts. But because he took time to breathe in the word of God, both before the suffering as well as during the suffering. And he said in Job 1, verses 21 and 22, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. You and I were born with nothing, and we're going to go out with nothing, except for what we have received from God that has eternal value. Before you lose some of these things that we've talked about, take a look around and realize that nothing's going to be here when God fulfills his plans and purposes for his people. The Lord gives and he takes away these things in life. We bless his name. We thank him for the blessings. I thank God for family. I thank God for the material wealth that he's given me. It's from his hand. I'll tell you right now, it's not because I was so smart that I figured out how to do this. No, I asked for wisdom to be able to bring glory to him, and he's ordered my steps just like he said he would. So I thank God for the blessings that he graciously, mercifully gave me. But if he chooses to take them away, they're his to take. And yet he will fulfill everything he's promised to me. He's never promised me that I would be wealthy, that I would never be sick. He's not promised that. But he's promised many other things in the Word of God. That's why we can continue to bless his name, because he will always do what he said he would. One day he's going to deliver me from all the consequences of sin. Man's suffering in general is the result of the presence of sin in the human race. That's why there's so much death and suffering. But for those who fear the Lord, those who've accepted his gift of eternal life, we're going to be delivered one day from the very presence of sin, to live eternally in the presence of God. This life's a vapor. Sometimes it seems long, but it's not. Sister Freestone's what, 90? 91, 92, 91, 92. That's a long time. But I bet if she was here and I ask her, she's going to say, where did it go? Just a vapor. But I have a hope that goes beyond this life that I didn't deserve. All we deserved from God was the wrath of God. We won't turn there, but in Romans chapter 3 and verses 10 to 18, there's none righteous. There's none that does good. All are worthy of the wrath of God. That's me. So when he takes away something, don't say, why? Why would you let that happen? It wasn't yours to hang on to anyway. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away in his time, his wisdom, for his purpose, to fulfill his eternal purpose and will in your life. We know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I didn't deserve that, but he gave it to me. And no one can take that away from me, because God said so. Not because I said I deserve it and don't you dare take it. God says, I gave it to you. Jesus came not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I received what I didn't deserve, the grace of God, eternal life. We were worthy of eternal separation, but now I have a standing in the grace of God, the favor of God. He loved me when I was yet his enemy. Think of that. You have any enemies? You have any people you just can't stand who are awful to you? Don't raise your hand, because that happens, doesn't it? Would you be willing to die for him? Jesus died for me when I was his enemy. That's the breath I need to take in when the wind's knocked out of me. Why? Why did this happen? Why did he let it happen? Wait a minute. He's God. He loved me to send his son to die for me. He's not out to get me with this calamity, with this tragedy. He has a plan for me. Take in the word of God. Don't let the enemy drown you in those floods of questions. We all know Romans 8 verses 35 to 39. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Not the past, not the present, not the future. Think on that. Meditate on that when you're hurting, when you're weeping because of the loss that you've suffered. It's real, the comfort that he will give. Christians are not exempt. They are not immune from the calamities of life, no matter what those blasphemers say. That if you have faith, you'll never be sick, you'll never have a problem, you'll never suffer these things that Brother Doug's talking about. He just doesn't have enough faith. The Bible makes it clear we're not exempt from suffering the things that we suffer in life. But he has given us a promise that the unsaved don't have. He promised to protect us from any eternal loss. He's promised to give us strength and comfort in the middle of the suffering. He's promised to give us wisdom and direction to take the next step after we are able to gather ourselves and take in that spiritual word of God that'll give us strength to take the next step. One at a time. Oh, you won't feel like running right away. But you'll have strength to stand and take the next step. He's promised to give that to you. Trust him. 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. You know this to be one of my favorite passages, one that always gives me that strength when I take time to breathe it in. It's so easy to talk about these things when everything's going good, isn't it? But oh, when you get hit, when you suffer a tragedy. This outline I first gave when little Wyatt was killed. That kind of blow, it'll take the breath out of you. But you breathe this in. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. If we don't know this, we'll lose heart. But we don't lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. That spiritual man, eternal man, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Can that be? The loss of a child, the diagnosis of a cancer that often does lead to death. Can that really be working for me? An eternal, a more exceeding and eternal weight or measure of glory. This is the secret. Why we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This morning I can't answer all the questions why God allows specific sufferings. I can't answer the question why there's a war in Ukraine. I know that God has a plan, and I know that Jesus is coming, and I know that there's coming more suffering and tribulation on the earth. I know that from the Word of God. But why specific individuals? And we have a tendency to just kind of generalize things, and oh, there's a war over there. But when you see these little children who don't understand why they had to leave their house, their home, their country, it's an individual matter that they're suffering. I can't answer why God allows those specific people to suffer. I'm not going to try to say, oh, well, God's judging them. If God's going to judge evil, we need to be praying for this country. I don't attempt to answer why. I just know those that fear him have a hope that goes beyond the present. Strength, peace, joy. And because I take in the Word of God and I start with the basics, whether it be for my suffering or the suffering of others, I find great peace in knowing that those who suffer and die that have accepted the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're in the presence of the Lord rejoicing right now. Oh yeah, it hurts to see them go, but there's comfort in knowing they're with the Lord. I thank God that the many innocent children, there are children being killed in this war. There are unborn children being killed in our country with abortion. And that's a tragic thing to me, but I find comfort in knowing that the grace of God is sufficient for those children in their innocence. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ is still the answer. The blood of Jesus covers them in their innocence. And I find comfort in that in the midst of horrific sorrow. I find comfort in knowing from the Word of God that the all-wise God is working something eternal in and through my life through the suffering. I may not be able to explain it in this life, but I trust him. I know he's showing himself faithful, and it will show in eternity. None of us have the promise of tomorrow. Sister Freestone doesn't have the promise of tomorrow. You say, oh, well, she's 92. Jason, Isaac, Kaylin, Annabelle, you don't have the promise of tomorrow. You have the promise of eternity. And nothing can rob you of that because Jesus died for you. And anything in this life, turn to Psalm 39. Oftentimes the tragedies of life are an opportunity to remember this. Because once again, when everything's going well, it just seems like things will just always go well. Brother Tom has a saying that he likes to say that he's 10 foot tall and bulletproof. Well, he didn't feel that way last week, did you? But you do sometimes feel that way. When things are good, when things are right, nothing can take me down. But in Psalm 39, verses 4 and 5, this is the attitude of those who fear the Lord. Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as a hand's breadth, and my age is as nothing before you, the Eternal One. Certainly, every man at his best state is but a vapor. Selah, pause and think about it. Jump over to Psalm 90, the same thought. Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. When you realize how frail you are and that life's a vapor and that you don't have the promise of tomorrow in this life, it'll give you the wisdom to trust the Lord today. It'll give you the wisdom to call upon him for the strength you need to take that next step as you take in that breath of life, the Spirit, Word of God. And sometimes these trials that we go through, they remind us, Lord, remind me how frail I am, that I may never forget to call upon you today. to trust you and to look for that eternal purpose that you have for me. So remember this, life is not about friends. They can be a blessing from God, but life's not about having friends. It's not about family. Thank God for family in the will of God. It's not about money. It's not about health, and it's not about wealth. Oh, those are all the things we think life is all about, and God should give those to us because we deserve them. And when he takes them away, oh my, it upsets us. But life is about knowing God through faith in Jesus Christ. It's that simple. It's about worshiping him, serving him, and preparing to rule and reign with him for eternity. That's what this short life is all about. It's a preparation for eternity. You know, the real tragedy of life, it's not the loss of natural life. It's not the loss of health or family or friends or wealth. The real tragedy of life is to go through life not knowing God, not knowing Jesus Christ, because that leads to eternal separation from the Creator of life. The real tragedy of life is when believers, Christians, live a life of carnality. That's a tragedy. When we've been given so much and we've been given a message that others can have an opportunity to know this grace of God. His grace is sufficient, whatever the trial. We'll close with two more passages, Romans 8, verses 18 and 19. When you get the spiritual wind knocked out of you, take your time in those confused thoughts when the flood of why questions come. Take time just to pause and remember these words. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Not worthy to be compared. Oh, you say, well, that's, Paul doesn't know what he's talking about. Paul was hated by his countrymen as a traitor. Paul was hated by the Gentiles as one who would disrupt their economy by turning people away from idolatry that was a moneymaker for him. The Apostle Paul had rocks literally thrown at him until he was left for dead. He was in prison. He was beaten. He ultimately put his neck on the chopping block to have his head removed from his body because he preached Christ. I think he knows what he's talking about. And he says all of that is not worthy to be compared. Do you believe it? We'll close with Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4. Remember these things when you are suffering, whatever the loss may be, friends, family, wealth, health. Revelation 21, 3 to 4. This is my end, not tragedy, not loss. That's not my end. That's not my destiny. I may have to pass through the fire. I may have to pass through the flood, but my God will take me through that. And in the process, he'll get me ready to enjoy a greater measure of this glory that we're going to share in eternity, for eternity. Revelation 21, 3 and 4. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. That's my destiny. Because of the grace and the mercy of God. Let's have a song in closing, Phil.